The city of Seattle is vowing to remain a sanctuary city for undocumented immigrants, even if it means losing federal funding under a Trump government. The president-elect has promised to crack down on cities that shield people from deportation. And on the website Crosscut, former Mayor Mike McGinn argues this is only one way that the president could punish Seattle. Mike McGinn, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You say that Trump's threat to pull federal funding from sanctuary cities like Seattle is, quote, the first salvo, and that progressive cities will have, quote, bullseyes on our backs. What do you mean, Mayor?
A bunch of things. But first of all, I think one of the things that happened in the last election was we didn't really take Trump seriously. And I think we should take him seriously now that he's in office. The other piece of that is even before Trump took office, the federal government was cutting money for social services for cities like Seattle. You know, back when I was mayor and faced the Great Recession, we had to make $60 million a year in budget cuts, and it was hard and it was difficult. And part of those cuts that we had to replace were cuts from the feds. And this is when we had a Democratic president. So I think that regardless of the sanctuary city issue, we're going to see Congress looking to cut funding to cities because they don't really care about transit. You know, they don't really care about our diverse population. Their Republican base, you know, they think we're elites, you know, who deserve to, you know, be punished in some way. And that's who they're going to speak to.
So how are you saying Seattle's going to feel that punishment besides withholding federal funding over the sanctuary cities case?
And by the way, before I talk more about that, we really do need to commend Mayor Ed Murray, the city council, for saying that. Other cities are saying it. The county exec is saying it. It's the absolutely right thing to do. So I forgot your question, Bill.
Okay, sanctuary cities. You dropped transit in there somewhere.
Right.
I want to know. I want to know what do you think Seattle is going to face because of Trump and his Congress?
A bunch of things. One, about 30% of our human services budget, which is substantial, is direct or indirect federal grants. You know, ones that come through the state or ones that come directly to us. We're looking at hoping to get a grant for the Center City Connector, trying to take those two disconnected streetcar lines and make it into something useful. That's tens of millions of dollars, grants for Lander Street. So we're talking, in the range of a few hundred million a year, because there's other smaller pots of money in other agencies as well, whether it's weatherization or small business development. So these are really significant dollars. It's not small dollars. And that was, I guess, one of the points I wanted to get out, was it's real dollars. It'll be significant. There's also another set of impacts, and I think Dow was talking about this a little bit yesterday.
The King County executive.
Yeah, which is when the feds make cuts to services, even if it doesn't flow through our government, if they cut services to people that live here.
Like what?
Health services, right? If Medicare or Medicaid is cut back, we're going to see a greater demand for health services that would be provided by the county or potentially by the city, depending on the type of services. So those indirect cuts, or those cuts to individuals that we are asked to backfill can be substantial as well. And we saw that in the Great Recession as well. So the budget pressures are going to be really large on the city. And I guess that's
by really large. Can you get, I know we're speculating, but like
say over the next
percentage of the budget, what are we talking?
Okay. So, over the next, if you look at the next, I can't say exactly how much the politics have to play out.
Yeah.
But if you looked at like the next 2 years of federal grants to the city, it's somewhere in the range of over $300 million. And that's against a total budget of about a billion a year in the general fund.
You
so
said
real
Seattle,
money.
Real money. You said Seattle needs to get on a war footing, your words, to prepare for a Trump administration. So what actions are you saying the city needs to take?
Well, I think we need to have real fiscal discipline about what we spend money on and how we tax ourselves to pay for this.
Okay, let's start with the fiscal discipline. What should we not spend on?
Well, that will be a healthy debate, but I think it should be put through a filter of how do we protect the most vulnerable first. And that's what I would look at. So, we see this debate in front of the city council right now. Do we pay for the most expensive police precinct in the nation, or do we use that bonding authority to build affordable housing? That's a real choice. There's
okay, I hear you saying no on the police precinct.
Sure.
And what else?
Sure. Should we use a downtown property tax to pay for, a magnificent waterfront, as an example? We're talking about a couple hundred million dollars in a local improvement district.
Okay, scale back the waterfront project.
And should we use that local improvement money to instead fund transit? Make sure that we're making it easy for people who live outside the city or live, further away from the core to get to and from their jobs cheaply.
Now, are either of those things projects that you wouldn't have advocated to cut back on had it not been for a Trump presidency? Are you just saying what you said before?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, Bill. Because I've always believed that, you know, I had the experience, again, of having to go through $60 million in budget cuts in my first year in office. And I had got a really deep understanding of the budget. And, you know, recessions always come around again. So I think we have to make choices. So, yeah, I'm putting things on the table. But, you know, as I said in the article, you disagree. If you think it's something else should take the hit, go for it. Let's have a healthy public debate about how we prioritize and how we have fiscal discipline. But I raise those two because they're big dollar issues and they're important issues. But let's have that debate through the filter of how do we protect the most vulnerable in the city? How do we have the fiscal discipline so that when the Trump administration says, hey, we're cutting this spending or we're cutting that spending, or as with sanctuary cities, do this or else, we can stand up to them, you know, because I don't think it's a bluff. And if you don't think someone's bluffing, then you need to have a good hand yourselves. So let's deal ourselves a good hand by getting ourselves in a stronger fiscal position.
You want higher taxes on our corporations, right?
Well, as I look at this, we keep going to the property tax again and again. And you have to remember, we have options to tax the big corporations that are here that we're not using. For example, a per-person tax on major employers, which, by the way, former Mayor Greg Nickels, that's how we partly funded the first Bridging the Gap transportation projects, was a parking tax, a property tax, and a tax on employers. The Chamber of Commerce got rid of that in 2009. That was like, if you wanted to get elected, you had to tell the Chamber of Commerce that you were going to get rid of that tax, even though we were heading into a recession. And maybe 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, we were worried about big companies locating here. But look what's happening right now, folks. We have built an incredible place. You know, artistic, creative, diverse.
So you're saying Amazon? You're saying Amazon will pay any amount of taxes?
They won't, realistically,
that Seattle would impose?
I'm not saying they'd pay any amount.
Realistically,
but they need to come here to get their employees. Look, Weyerhaeuser, a forest products company, moved from Federal Way to Pioneer Square because that's what it takes to hire good people. And places like Seattle, we're going to keep having the good people, particularly in an era of Trump. We created the wealth. We created the value by creating such a great community and such a great place.
But there are other cities with good people, and we used to say that about Boeing, that they got to be here.
Well, look, man, Google's moved up here. You know, even Microsoft employees are downtown. Microsoft has office space downtown, and they got a huge campus outside of town. I'm not saying, you know, it's got to be punitive, but I'm saying when we look to the next increment of dollars we need— And again, we got to, you know, not think about the grandiose projects. When we look at the next increment of dollars we need, I think we need to ask the successful corporation in the city to help pay for it, because we should tap into that wealth and not have it chase people out of town, you know, through unaffordability.
So what we talked about, what you want city officials to think about. What do you want the rest of us to be thinking about?
You know, I think we need to also look at our overall policies, right? I mean, I guess the reason I wrote this in part was it really matters to me. I think it matters to most Seattleites that we want to be a beacon. We want to show the rest of the world what it means to stand up to Trump. We want to show not just that we can protect ourselves, but that we can do better than them. And that means we have to be more inclusive. And that means there probably will be some sacrifices that are asked of us. I mean, this is, you know, the city's not made of money, and we certainly don't have enough houses either, right? We may all have to make some sacrifices, give up on some of the things we love.
Meaning build more housing and change the character of the city, as
well,
they say?
Well, isn't the character of our city inclusion? Didn't all of Hillary Clinton's votes come from people in apartment buildings?
So, yeah, you want more apartments, more mother-in-laws, more duplexes.
Sure, we've got to add some people. By the way, that's also good for our fiscal bottom line, just for what it's worth. You know, when you do the math on this and people have mixed-use development generates so many dollars per, you know, piece unit of land, you know, and it takes a lot less money to take care of the infrastructure. So it actually helps share the fiscal load as well. But yeah, let's look at what it means to truly be inclusive, truly lift people up, even if that means, I mean, let's face it, there's going to be a lot of hardship visited upon, you know, women, people of color, immigrant and refugee communities, LGBTQ individuals, given everything that the Trump administration wants to do. And if we're serious about standing in solidarity, that means maybe we got to, like, we have to look at maybe some of the things the rest of us have to give up to stand in solidarity with that. And I realize that that's not what a typical politician says, right? I mean, I ran for office twice. Don't worry, we can solve that problem, and we can solve that problem, and somebody else will pay, and nobody else will get hurt. But let's get real about this. But I also think it's a meaningful thing for this city to do, a very meaningful thing for this city to do.
That is Seattle's former mayor, Mike McGinn, saying we're going to have to cut back on some projects. We're going to lose some federal funding. We're going to have to raise some taxes and grow and grow up and double up and sacrifice under a Trump presidency and a Republican Congress.
Yeah, and when we do so, we actually will build a city that's more inclusive, you know, more wealthy in the long run, more resilient, and we can be proud of ourselves too.
Former Mayor Mike McGinn, who has a podcast called
You, Me, Us Now.
It's good to see you again, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you.